Every time they always changing things.
Okay, I hit record.
Thank you. Welcome everybody to another Aries Working Group call. This is the Working Group A call where we try to overlap with our colleagues in Europe and depending on how late in the evening, all the way over in India. So that's great. Thanks for joining. We got a full group now, so let's get going. I'm sharing my screen. We got the agenda in the wiki. And as usual, we encourage everybody to come in and list yourself as an attendee. Makes it easier to see who's been involved in which conversations, so we get a sense of consensus. We have, of course, people can propose topics for today. The main topics I have, we need to do some calendaring stuff, and then I want to talk about language wrappers. AJ and Tomislav and I have all had some conversations. So I want to make sure we have them all together. There's a requirements question about ACAPI that our team, Everdim's team, when we work on LibVCX, we found a misalignment. We want to figure out how to resolve that. So thanks for joining, Andrew and Steven. And then if we get time, we can talk about the Aries KMS design. I don't know if we've made a lot of progress on that since the Aries Connectathon 2 weeks ago, but that's the list. Of course, if anybody has additional items you want to add, feel free. As always, we try to follow the Hyperledger Code of Conduct, and we comply with the laws in our jurisdiction. Move on from that. I keep forgetting to do this. We should do introductions. If anybody has not introduced yourself, wants to get to know other members of this group, feel free to take yourself off mute and introduce yourself. We'll give you a minute. And of course, if you're new and you don't know anybody, you can say, hey, I want other people to introduce themselves too. We're gonna make a new rule here where new people can insist that other people introduce themselves. There are a couple of people on the call I don't recognize. So I'm gonna stop talking and let there be an awkward silence until people come off mute and decide whether you want to introduce yourself or not.
Hey everybody, I'm Philip Berlaku. I'm one of the people here today from SecureKey. I'm relatively new to this whole decentralized identity business, but it's been very interesting so far. And if everybody else could introduce themselves, I wouldn't mind. Thank you very much.
Excellent. Oh, he exercised the rule already. So thank you, Philip. I'm Richard Esplin. I'm a product manager for Evernym, responsible for our contributions to Hyperledger. Stephen, why don't you introduce yourself?
Which one?
Stephen Curran.
Okay, Steve Curran. I'm from BTGov and Cloud Compass Computing. I work on the BTGov project and sort of semi-chair the afternoon meeting sometimes.
Excellent. Sergey, why don't you take your 15 seconds?
Okay, hey. I'm Sergey. I'm working for Evernym, and I'm a maintainer of EDSDK. So that's it.
AJ, you want to take a few seconds?
Hi, my name is Ajay Zada. I work for IonWorks, and I'm contributing to Aries JavaScript and React Native.
Excellent. Tomislav?
Hey, I'm Tomislav. I'm a CTO of StreetGrid, and I contribute code here and there around the Aries.
that was humble. Tomislav contributes a lot of the .NET framework. Andrew?
Hello. Over in Victoria with Stephen here, working on Aries Cloud Asian Python, mostly.
Excellent. And if anybody doesn't want to introduce yourself, you can say pass. But Bernardus? Bernardus Kurnia, I apologize, I haven't practiced your name. How about Baha?
Yes, hi, this is Baha from SecureKey. I do work with Philip and maybe Troy Ronda here for the Go framework, Aries framework Go. And we're building all the components in Go. And I'm more concerned about the crypto and the KMS design today. And that's why I joined today.
Excellent. Thank you. Brent?
My name is Brent Zundell. I work for Evernym. I'm here because I'm involved with the Rich Schema efforts with the Sovereign Foundation.
Excellent. Sid?
Hi, my name is Sid. I'm from Calgary, and I'm here. This is my first call on Aries, but I usually sit on Indie Calls.
Excellent. Welcome. And Mike?
Hey, I'm Mike. I'm the security maven here at the Sovereign Foundation. So I primarily work on URSA, but I'm also involved in any Aries security related stuff.
Alex?
Hey, I'm Alex. I'm a maintainer of Indie projects, in particular Indie Plenum and Indie Node. This is a Ledger blockchain part.
And Stern? Sorry, I can't pronounce your name very well.
Me? Surgeon?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Thank you. It's Surgeon.
I apologize.
Yeah. This is the first time I'm here. I'm a developer from Serbia, and I'm just interested in Hyperledger areas. So I stumbled upon this meeting, and so I would like to join to hear more just to get introduced into the whole Hyperledger ecosystem.
Excellent. Welcome.
Thank you.
Side note, Evernym has an office in Serbia. We don't have any of our Serbian teammates on the call now, so but you should meet some people that are in your area, so that's fantastic.
Okay, great.
Sam?
Sam Curran. I work for the Sovereign Foundation, and within the Aries, I code contributions to the toolbox, occasionally to Akapai, some other areas, and also one of the newly chosen co-chairs of the DIF DIDCOM working group, who meets later today.
Excellent. Daryl?
I'm Daryl O'Donnell from Ottawa, Canada. One of my major jobs is I'm Chief Technology Officer for CU Ledger.
One of your jobs. It's a big role. Ken?
Hi, I'm Ken Ebert. I'm a software architect with the Sovereign Foundation. I focus on the Rich Schema work right now, and I'm a co-chair of the Semantics Working Group.
Excellent. Steve? Steve McCown?
Hello, this is Steve McCown. I work for Anonymy Labs in Salt Lake City. We have a product, MySudo, where we're implementing peer-to-peer and chip encrypted chat using the Indian Aries protocols.
Excellent. And Troy?
Hey there, it's Troy from SecureKey. In Aries, I'm primarily working on Aries Framework Go.
Excellent. So thank you, Philip, for having the courage to encourage us to do introductions. It's nice to get to know everybody. We don't do that very often, so it's good to go through it on occasion. Thank you. Alexis, you just joined, but if you'd like to introduce yourself, we just did brief introductions.
Yes, of course. My name is Alexis. I haven't joined one of these meetings in a while. I used to join them a lot more frequently. I've just been busy recently, but I am a member of Spaceman ID. Some of you may be aware of the SSI incubator that just came to an end last week. Our company was part of that. So happy to be back, and I'm going to be joining these more regularly.
Excellent. Welcome. Very good. Let's go into the announcements. Couple logistic things. Hyperledger has changed the way that they do calendars, and I want to make sure everybody's aware of that. There is the calendar of public meetings in the wiki, and now the calendar is being pulled from groups.io. So if you have copied calendar invitations from the old Google ICS file into your personal calendar, I strongly encourage you to switch to the groups.io feed so it stays current. I moved all the Aries calls over, all the Indie calls, and the Identity Working Group calls. So those three should be okay. And I think the URSA calls have been moved. But the only change I made as I moved was the Identity Working Group has a new Zoom link because I wasn't sure how to record on the old one. So we've got that done. So if you join the Identities Working Group, the Identity Implementers call tomorrow, note the new Zoom link. I did update that in the wiki too. So the old calendar is at the bottom of this page. things are supposed to be deleted from this calendar as they're moved to the new one. So we should see this feed for the old calendar get thinner and thinner as the meetings get moved to the new one. Any questions about the new calendar?
When was the switch made? Just because I recently added it to mine, so I don't know if it was like within the last week or
First week of December. I moved things. I found out about it during the Connectathon when I sat next to Dave Huseby and said, "What's wrong with the calendar?" And he said, "Oh, you missed some announcements." So, if you've done it since about December 3rd, you should be okay. Well, December 5th. Gotcha. I think I got it all moved on the 5th.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Yeah. Excellent question. Now, one other note on this call. This call happens every other week. The Aries Working Group B call does happen later today in a few hours. That overlaps more with Asia and the Americas. We will be skipping the next Aries Working Group A call. So the I wrote that down somewhere. Yeah, so the January 1st call is canceled. We'll be skipping that one. I hope everybody enjoys your New Year holiday. And we'll come into January 15th is the next call. And I believe, Sam, the B call is happening today, but you're canceling. How many are you going to cancel?
The next two. So the one that coincides near the Christmas holiday and the New Year's holiday will both be canceled. And the next call will be the week of January 6th. That's the Monday of. So it's going to be, it'll be the 8th.
Excellent.
By the way, we will be updating the calls. When you follow the link from the calendar invite, it takes you to the list of calls. The next one will have the appropriate date, and we'll probably add a note to the top of that those are canceled.
Fantastic. So in the Aries section of the wiki, there's an Aries working group, and this goes through and summarizes each of the calls. That's why we keep that list at the top if you're not familiar with that. So we'll be updating that to say what's canceled. I put in just the date for, I thought I had the January one in here already, but it's not pulling. I guess I haven't done that yet. I'll do that in a minute. So I'll take Sam's example. Very good. Any questions about meeting logistics? Okay, a couple other announcements. If you're not aware yet, there is a new Hyperledger edX course. If you meet somebody who's getting started, this is a great resource to push people towards. Highly recommend that. And there's a new meeting, the DIF DIDCOM working group, that portions of the Aries RFCs we're trying to improve the intellectual property protections around Aries RFCs. Hyperledger does a good job at protecting us to make sure our standards are free and open once they're encoded as a somewhere committed to GitHub. When you do that, you have to sign that you'll follow the terms of the Apache license and that you have control to do that. But it doesn't protect us as much for conversations. And we get nervous. There have been times in the past where people have said, "Oh, I said that in a conversation and I own it." So we want to make sure we move to a standards development, SDO, standards development organization type model, where people commit when they participate in a conversation that they aren't going to exercise any intellectual property rights on the conversation.
Well, and Richard, this is specifically being taken up because there's been desire from outside the Aries community to build upon or expand some of the support items inside of the DIDCOM related RFCs. So that's why this is happening specifically with the DIDCOM RFCs, and we're not generally changing the Aries RFC process.
Excellent. So the DIDCOM RFCs are the more network layer. How do you do a connection? How do you package a message? How do you do your encryption envelope, all that kind of thing. Those are the RFCs specifically that are moving to the DIF working group. Is that a good summary, Sam?
That is, and we'll have probably starting in January. The call today is going to be reviewing the operational charter for the group, and we're mostly done there, but sort of clarifying some final pieces of that. And then starting in January, we'll have some more clear statements. If you're curious about where the line is or what the group will be talking about, we'll be producing some stuff early in January that helps clarify that.
Excellent. Thank you. And one other, so quickly, we like to look at the agendas for the last, the Aries B calls, because that's in the other time zone. And we missed two of those each time we do one of these. And last time we did some closing stuff, some issue game, we call it, where we closed a bunch of issues. And then we discussed the Aries Connectathon for people that weren't here in person. So that was really useful conversation. It looks like the call recording's not there. This is the one that actually happened during the Connectathon. So we didn't record that one. And then last week, the call recording is here. And we continued that Connectathon update and made progress there. So that's the update. Now, instead of going through each project as we've done in the past, I want to make sure we have enough time for the other conversation topics we have. Looks like the Go Frameworks update with their latest stuff. So you can check out the notes there. And don't see too many other changes. Anybody have a release announcement or another release status work update that you want to make sure the group has?
Release 0.4.0 of ACAPI was done last week. So I've updated the link there. A series of changes. There's a release listing all the changes, but the biggest thing for anyone who's using it internally, if you have an external protocol that you were including at runtime, the method of including protocols has changed to be including plugins because they're somewhat more general than just protocols. And the option on the command line has changed from --protocol to --plugin to indicate that you want to include an external plugin. So there's some reorganization of the code there. That's the breaking change, which is why we went from 0.3 to 0.4.
That's excellent. It. Thank you. Good update. Anybody else, I thought I heard somebody else come off mute.
Yeah. So URSA 0.3.0 was released. We have decided that URSA and zMix will be two separate releases. zMix is all of the ZKP proving code, whereas URSA is basically everything else. So as soon as one last PR is merged, then we will release zMix 0.1.0. And that will have all of the presentation layer stuff that Aries cares about.
And you expect that release to be when?
As soon as that one PR is merged. So I don't know when. Hopefully so within a month. Hopefully, well, maybe by, for sure by January, but I doubt it'll be this month.
Okay. Excellent. Thank you for that update. Any other updates people want to give? Okay, excellent. There were, I don't think we've updated the RFC progress in this meeting. We do a lot of RFC work in the B call. There's one RFC we're going to make part of the conversation, RFC 94. Any other RFCs that we need to highlight at the moment? I think most of these have been open for a while up here. We should go through that probably the next call.
Well, we do have two new RFCs that I've been working on for our work with SecureKey. Yes, the two on the very last point there.
Oh, these two are new. Okay, that's good.
There are two RFCs on the very last point. And the second last point is also one of the new RFCs that we've been working on. At SecureKey, we're going to need to be able to support clients and servers communicating over DIDCOM without having any idea that they're communicating over DIDCOM. And so I've been trying to develop RFCs that will allow us to use DIDCOM as a transparent transportation layer. So like a couple of weeks ago, I wrote the HTTP over DIDCOM RFC, and I got some good feedback, and especially about how we already have RFCs to handle a lot of the relaying work. And so I've split part of that out into the generic JSON message RFC that can carry any type of data, not just HTTP messages. And I've added some HTTP semantics to the HTTP over DIDCOM RFC. So yeah, that's some updating that I did actually just last night. So we can go over that later maybe.
Excellent. Thank you for that update.
I have a quick question, and we don't have to talk about it now, but I would love some more color around the use cases, just to help me better understand the motivations behind them. And it doesn't need to happen now, but if there's another way that can happen, I would appreciate that.
That's a great idea. The use cases are currently in the HTTP over DIDCOM RFC. I can copy some over.
No, I've read them, but okay. More depth there would perhaps help me.
Sure, that's a great idea.
That's the HTTP over DIGCOM specifically?
Yes. Yeah. Well, okay. I mean, generically, yes, but HTTP seems to be the first application of such, and understanding the underpinnings would help me understand how to evaluate the RFC.
Excellent. So if we have time at the end of this call, we'll do that. Otherwise, we'll bump into the next one. And of course, it can be in the B call as well. The AJ pointed out that he had updated the Aries Framework JavaScript section. So they're planning on merging that in. And actually, let's just go into that now. So AJ, you want to give an update about your thinking about frameworks and versus SDKs?
Yeah, that's what we discussed about in the Connectathon. And we just want to merge both of them and start building on it.
Excellent. And that's one of the topics I want to make sure we spend, 5 minutes or so today on, is at the Connectathon, we discussed the challenge of a new developer coming into the Aries ecosystem and figuring out which of these many repositories apply to him or her. And one of the concerns is that we have these SDKs that are thin language wrappers, and we have these frameworks that are thicker. And I've noticed this with Go. Now I realize that the SecureKey team has been the leaders of Aries Go Framework Go, and I think it's a great model for fast development. There are some other people that started the Aries SDK Go, and it's only had a couple of commits. And I don't know if any of them were on this call. But the suggestion is to follow the example that the SDK JavaScript team did, and we should just only have frameworks. The idea of a framework is it's thicker, it's more opinionated, it does more handholding for the developer. That should be the experience we give new developers. Now, I believe with the JavaScript framework, they said, well, we probably want to keep the SDK as a separate area of the framework where we have this thin wrapper we call on. And that's fine in the same repo where it doesn't cause any confusion in a single CI/CD pipeline. So that was the thinking along that. There are a number of places where we have these SDK repos, and I think it's a bit confusing. So we come into Aries. We've got the, so the proposal is that Aries SDK Go gets merged into Aries Framework Go. That shouldn't be too bad because there's only two commits so far. Aries SDK JavaScript's moving into Aries Framework JavaScript. AJ's already mentioned that. The Aries Framework.net currently pulls in the indie SDK.net. It depends on it as a separate repo. And Tomislav and I were talking on the indie call about maybe we should move that code into there. Troy mentioned that the Aries SDK Go is an empty repo. So they created it, but they haven't done anything with it yet. So the suggestion is that I consider that to be, I think we should have a community guideline that we avoid the SDKs and we just do frameworks. I still need to reach out to Jack about the Aries SDK Ruby. The idea is we'd rename that to Aries Framework Ruby. And I still need to reach out to somebody that's working on the Java one. But anyway, that's the proposal. And I think there's a lot of value to that approach for simplifying the experience of new developers in the ecosystem. Any questions or feedback on that proposal?
I have a question. There's room for multiple frameworks in a language, for example. And the question is how do we approach the naming of that, or how do we make it clear to new users, given the goal there, that what they're getting or what it is. If we're calling them all frameworks, then we can do that, but I think we need to make it clear what the difference is.
Yeah, and we discussed this a little bit at the Connectathon, that especially when we talk about shared libraries, that there's probably going to end up being multiple key management services and things like that. And I think for the shared libraries, that kind of proliferation isn't a problem, because the people consuming those are the framework authors who we expect to be experts in Aries. But part of this proposal, I think it we should encourage there to be a single Aries framework for each language. Obviously, there will be others, but they don't have to live in the Aries namespace. I think best practice is that when somebody comes into the Aries project, that we don't overwhelm them with choices. That would be my suggestion for the new developer experience.
I'm thinking, I may not have good input at this point, but I'm thinking about the difference, for example, between ACAPI and the Aries static agent Python, which are both, you could say, frameworks for doing things, although they both maybe go a little bit beyond frameworks, but they have very different goals, and I think that trying to combine them would be a mistake. Anyway, we don't have to hash it out now, but that's my sort of initial head scratching.
Well, and I think those two examples are good ones. We do have a distinction between agents and frameworks. So my impression of a new developer experience is they come into the Aries ecosystem, and if they find an agent that does what they want, great, they can get started. And a static agent and a cloud agent are very different. So they've got an agent they can get going. If they don't have an agent they can get going with, then they're going to pick a framework for the language they're interested in. And having a single framework that meets that need makes that a lot easier, saves a lot of research. Any other thoughts or feedback on that proposal? So the next step on that proposal, we discussed in the Connectathon, AJ's already started making some changes on the JavaScript side. Tomislav, did you have any concerns about it with .NET? With incorporating the indie .NET SDK into the Aries framework repository?
No concerns.
Excellent. So those two make sense. And I think the Go framework's pretty easy. I think all that needs to happen there is we reach out to the people who created that and say, hey, this is the way we're thinking about things. I don't know if that's something that the Go SDK, if somebody who's maintaining the Go framework, would anybody be willing to reach out to the people working on the Go SDK and come to a resolution about how we treat those two repositories? I'm looking your way, Troy.
I can message. I just haven't seen any activity on that project, so.
Yeah, I haven't either. There was conversation.
Shouldn't we just get rid of it? Shouldn't we just get rid of it until someone decides they want to? Obviously, no one's working on it, so.
Oh, I think that's the end goal. If somebody's willing to reach out to the, there was some conversation in Rocket Chat in October about this. That's how it got created. So I think if somebody's willing to reach out to those people, it would help ensure that they don't feel that they. I'd like to encourage them to contribute to the framework instead of just close their repo. So, I think we've
been. Do we even know who they are, though?
I'd have to go back through the Rocket Chat history, but if we look at the, I thought there was a pull, or was it who started?
Oh, it wasn't me. No, good.
Yeah, I think these are these. I'm going from memory, okay. But I think these are the two handles I saw in Rocket Chat.
Okay.
Anyway,
I'm always happy to suggest people contribute to Aries Framework Go. So
yeah, exactly.
I'm always happy to send that message.
And I think it's the right message to send. So I'm not, we do the best we can. If we can't track down whoever it was, then we move forward and we delete the repo or whatever. But I think a polite conversation would help encourage these people. And then the Java one, I need to reach out to, I think it was Mahmoud. I need to look at who contributes to the Java stuff and reach out to them too. I've been meaning to do that, but haven't got it done. Okay, so that was that topic. So the proposal from the Connectathon, I wrote it up so that I wouldn't forget anything. One of the other challenges with the wrappers is that currently there's a lot of language wrappers in Indie SDK, but as the language frameworks in Aries get more mature, SDK maintainers like Sergey and Alex and I, we don't want new developers picking up the Indie SDK. We want them picking up the Aries frameworks. That's where all the action is. And so we created a couple issues to start deprecating these. Because the .NET framework in Aries is the most mature, we thought we'd start with that one. Currently, the .NET framework calls into the Indie SDK wrapper, so we're not going to do that in the short term. But then the next round would be Java, JavaScript, Android, iOS, as those mature. The biggest challenge is that Python, the Aries Python stuff is really mature, but we have to keep the Indie SDK Python wrapper for the Indie node continuous integration. So we need to figure out, maybe we deprecate it as a public thing and encourage people to go to Aries. Anyway, we're still figuring that out. But I wanted everybody here to just be aware that as an Indie SDK maintainer group, if it's not a language we're using, we don't feel qualified to fix the wrappers and all the actions in Aries. And currently we're fixing things in the JavaScript SDK wrapper and then trying to also raise a bug in the Aries SDK wrapper. And life will be simpler when we can just tell people go to Aries. So we're trying to move there as quickly as possible. Any concerns about that? No definite timeline here, but I wanted to make sure people are aware and have an opportunity to weigh in. Okay, we'll move forward then. Next topic. Sergey, you're the expert on this one. Can you take us through the pull request in RFC 94? I don't remember which RFC this is.
Okay, sure. So in practice, we have, we have an RFC. It was created a bit a long time ago. And actually some implementations like AKPy, like I think .NET framework as well, are a bit different from this RFC, because I think they were implement this functionality, this logic, before the RFC was approved for whole process. And in fact, we have a situation that RFC defines a bit different format of the cross-domain messages, how to include the encrypted data expressed by JSON into the forward message. So I found this nuance while implementing some functionality in libvcx, and I provide an example how it can be fixed, for example, in AKPy code base, but for sure it's breaking changes against previous version of AKPy. So I think the main point for today is to discuss, is it possible to do these breaking changes, especially taking into account that BCGov are going to do new release, which would include other breaking changes. So probably it's a good time to do it. Well, I think it's a brief summary, and if anyone have questions, let's clarify the basis for our discussion.
I have a thought I want to add. So it looks like, I'm not sure if there was a discussion whether this format should actually be a JSON format or just a string when the RFC was created, but it feels like if we update the RFC to use what the current AKPy and .NET implementations use, then we probably wouldn't have to go through the alignment process. And then since you're developing this feature right now in BCX, I think it should be pretty straightforward just to use a string for the field as opposed to the entire object. If that makes sense. The reason for this is we don't use random undefined JSON objects elsewhere throughout the library, throughout the RFC. We did talk about, there it is, this is the line. So where a message says JSON object, I think this should just be put in quotes and should be the JSON representation of the object in a very similar how we're distributing JSON throughout other RFCs. We did talk about briefly on the channel about actually making this use the attachment decorator. That would be a more proper way of handling this data. But I think for now, if we update the RFC actually to just use, follow the format that we have currently implemented in MagicPython and the .NET framework, that would solve a lot of alignment things.
I got your point. I first would like to point out that for human readability and from just if we try to abstract from reality, from implementations, if you would like to just analyze which is formed is more clear, is more natural, I think having just nested JSON without redundant quotes, without redundant escape symbols, it's more clear, it's more human readable. I mean, if you would like to have a string, as a result, we will have to do some escaping, introduce more symbols in the JSON. It's not so critical, but it's reduced the readability, I think. It's maybe not so critical because it's, in any case, it's encrypted.
Yes. Right. Doesn't the lib in the app output is actually a byte array that's ASCII encoded string for the message?
Yeah, so but it's...
You wouldn't have to do indentation or anything like that.
Yeah,
you include the original data.
Yeah, but the problem here is the libind API is very limited by C API boundaries. So it's the string as output from the libind API is just a limitation of C API boundaries. So actually, the fact is that byte string is really the JSON. And from just human readability, it would be nice to avoid unnecessary escaping, unnecessary quotes, and so on.
But this message would be a wire format message, right?
Yeah. Yeah, so it's output from puck and puck.
Okay. I'm still of the opinion that we should just use the string here. I see your point about readability. But the same argument can be made of why aren't we using the JSON object in the other attachments? Are we using the same JSON format? It's always stringified in a string form.
Could you point out an example about other RFC?
The presentation or the credential issuance where we attach the messages.
But in this source case, it is an attachment. But here is just nested JSON.
Right.
Explicitly nested, not like an attachment. And as far as I remember, in case of proof presentation and others, it's not just a string, it's base 64 or base 58 string encoded. So it's not just a string.
I thought I heard somebody else trying to contribute. Did somebody else come off mute?
I came off mute. I think I can see arguments on both sides of this, and it strikes me that as we discuss forwarding in the future, we are likely to come to different conclusions than we have. So we might end up with an interoperability profile approach where we, for now, adopt the one that's currently implemented, and then we begin talking about sort of the next one that we plan to move to at some point. And then we can sort of fix all the things we want to fix all at the same time as part of that process.
Yeah, so, I think this is going to change completely probably as we update the envelope format. So
yes, in particular.
Really mind what we use in the meantime.
Yeah, so my thought was is that if we know that changes are coming, I'm less inclined to want to fix something for the sake of readability, and I think that the likelihood of a change is pretty high.
Now, Tobias discussed updating the envelope format at the Connectathon. I forgot the details of that, so I haven't talked to Sergey about that. Maybe it would help Sergey if somebody can summarize what Tobias was proposing. Or is that the change you talked about, Andrew?
I think that's a big topic.
I mean, that's a pretty big deal. But basically, I mean, this is where some of the DIDCOM discussions in DIDCOM, that's going to be the top of the agenda on that. So all of that, I think the general message is the envelope encryption and forward are likely to be key topics. And so the basic suggestion here is let's leave what we have today alone, because 6 months from now, we're all going to have to be doing a bigger change. And then we can have a plan for how we would do that bigger change. For now, this is just pretty minor, and let's just tweak the RFC for now, because that RFC is going to be overridden in the future.
Yeah, the challenge is that it's not the so there's two areas of misalignment, I think. One is that Sergey specifically isn't aware of that conversation around evolving DIDCOM. If we can point him that direction, I think that'll help Sergey be in alignment. But the other is that Tomislav pointed out that we're in the process of implementing this in LibVCX. That's actually not true. We implemented this in LibVCX, our agency, and Verity for the Connectathon 3 weeks ago. So now we've got to get, you know, we've got to update multiple products with multiple teams.
Yeah, and this should actually support the format which is described in RFC, not in the PI or somewhere else.
Yeah, Ian was telling me that I think he needed to merge this PR for testing compatibility with the Picos agent as well. Because it's using forwards in this format.
So I'd like to put the next question for the community. How hard for others?
Well, hold on. Before we bring something new in, let's get this resolved. Or does it relate to this?
I think it's related.
Yeah,
we have to, for
sure. Yeah, so I would like to ask the next question for Team Akapai and for Team, in particular, Tomislav, about .NET Framework. So for Akapai, as far as understood, the next list would be a breaking change list in any case. So it should not be a problem to just merge a pull request and just have one more breaking changes in the upcoming release. Is it true?
Sorry, what was that? I missed that.
Release.
Okay, go ahead.
Our most recent one was a breaking change release, and that's already out. But I'd like to do another update soon that drops the older credential and presentation exchange families. So that would be another breaking release, 0.5 probably.
I should also highlight, though, that it's a breaking change in terms of the interface, not in terms of its external communication with other agents. So,
yeah, I mean, the issue
so the starter parameters change. Good, Stephen.
The breaking change is not to do with code. It's to do with deployments that are out in the wild and synchronizing the updates so that those don't stop working. We've got a number of implementations that are out and people are using them. And now, so breaking changes like this are more difficult. I mean, obviously we have to do them. We had to do it a couple of weeks ago. Now we're going to have to do it again. And every time we do it, we get time of down of in access to these systems. Things just break and people don't know why.
So are we discussing protocol breaking changes or breaking changes specific to the Akapai platform?
Well, we're discussing both, and that's what I was trying to highlight. So the Akapai breaking changes they talked about are the process of starting up Akapai, et cetera. That's the breaking changes, except that it's not a protocol breaking change. So either of the forward or the 040 or prior will still work from a protocol perspective, but how you actually start it up is different. And so it's an internal breaking change versus an external breaking change. And we have not discussed an external breaking change. But that's what we're proposing here, is that if we do switch the encoding formats of forward messages, then that would be the case. The other option here is and this is a variant of what I proposed before, is that we simply slap two different protocol version numbers on forwards so that both could be supported in parallel, and that would avoid a massive breaking change by sort of deprecating one and moving to the other one. Because that's a protocol change, not a parameters to start up the library change.
That wouldn't really work either, because you'd still have to update half the agents to change the protocol identifier.
Well, no, you just create the new one. If we leave the current one as the current identifier, right? And then everything else. So, well, here's my other question. Richard, you mentioned that you've got three different teams with code. Is that deployed code or is that just written code?
One of them's deployed. The other two are written.
Okay.
I think two deployed, not?
Well, anyway, it depends on where you draw the line for deployed. The connect.me release is in progress. So depending on where we are today, you might see it's deployed or not. But the backend hosted agency is deployed and the Verity stuff is not deployed yet.
So 1.5 deployments. So there's still the deployed stuff on both sides. You're right, Andrew. Then your point is correct in that because they're using the same version number for different behavior, half of them have to be updated anyway.
So for Akapai, I'm happy to merge this change and do a new release. The only thing it's limiting us is compatibility with .NET framework, which we do need for testing our mobile agents.
Okay, so next question should be, I think, Tomislav, is it hard to release Akapai, .NET framework at the same time as Akapai?
It's dependent on going through the App Store approval process. But there's always going to be some friction. There's about finding resources to do implementation right now. And then, again, updating deployments that we already have in production as well.
So it also occurs to me that there is the possibility, this is not desirable, obviously, but there is the possibility of doing sort of some duck typing detection of what's going on here. Meaning, if the value there is a string, then treat it like this. If it's an object, treat it like that. And that's obviously not desirable, but it is a way through of trying to handle or have code that handles both of them, which could help the to avoid a coordinated deployment process.
Well, in our case, we don't really receive forward messages. We could if it was set up as a router, but I don't think anybody's using that at the moment. But we produce them, and we have to produce them in a format that the street cred cloud agent recognizes.
So the real question for the duck type or the dual processing then is a .NET framework question, since you are the active code base that's receiving them. Right?
Right. What is the question then?
Well, the question is, are we proposing a hard change where previous messages will cease to work at all? Or are we proposing that I think your code base is the only one that's really receiving and acting on forward messages at this point? And so if you could handle either case, then we could avoid a protocol breakdown.
Well, not without adding the change in the code.
And then yes, you would definitely have to have the change in the code. But right. what I'm asking is how difficult do you think it would be to be able to receive both types at least temporarily during a transition period?
I think in general, strongly typed languages do not work well with dynamic data structure, which is what we have here with the RFC.
So harder,
yes.
Yeah.
There's more friction. Not impossible. Obviously, we can write custom serializers that detect these changes, but that also creates a larger surface for bugs moving forward.
Right.
And I'm nervous about, we're still very early in adoption. Soon, the day will come when we have to do that kind of thing, but I hope today's not that day. I can go back and find those teams and make the changes on the Evernym side. The problem is that it's going to slow down our interoperability effort. We're really excited that we can have a connect.me that talks to Akapai by the end of the year. But like Tomislav said, if we have to go back and pull that release out of the App Store to fix it, that's going to blow that end of the year when we press the connect.
I'd say this is just too painful. Tomislav, why don't you make the change in street cred or can you make the street cred change or the framework.net change and push that to the App Store so that when it gets there, you just let us know what version it is. And then what we'll do is update, do an immediate release of ACAPI and redeployment of as many of them as we know of and let people know, and then try to minimize the time we're broken.
Well, do we even need a new App Store release? It's the routing agent, I think, which there's only one.
I thought you
said
it was the receiver. Okay, I don't know. Yeah.
The mobile
agent can produce forward messages as well. So it has to produce them in the right format for peer-to-peer communication.
Right, but that's not a change that we depend on.
Not a change that you depend on, right? You said you're not using forward messages, so I this would not probably affect your deployments.
I'm not sure of that. I think there are people that are using ACAPI as cloud agents. We may not be, but others are. I mean, we're not the only ones that deploy ACAPI. That's the big, this is where we start to get into the unknown. BCGov and StreetCred can control what we control, but we're getting a fair number of people using ACAPI out in the world on their own use cases. And that's where we get into issues with this. This is where it gets challenging.
They can just switch between 0.4 and 0.5 for this change, though, I think.
Yeah.
It's still going to be messy. We'll have to message it. The Sovereign Foundation has a deployment of ACAPI, but I don't think it's going to be difficult for us to update. So we're not a good data point. Or we're not a good counterexample anyway.
Hey, ACAPI, we're still early enough in the adoption curve. I know BCGov has ACAPI in production use cases, but I don't know of anybody else who's using it in production yet. So that's
just to kind of throw our name in there, we use ACAPI currently pretty heavily in our solution and are planning to move to production in January.
That's good to know.
Welcome to the world of versioning.
Exactly. So messy.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, I also recognize the unfortunate fact that we didn't really have a good way to find this earlier such that we could resolve this back in the RFC design process. And a lot of that's just we're young as a community. And we obviously know that, testing and other sorts of things will help this. But it still makes me lament a little bit that we didn't have it better informed at the time.
Agreed. So I think we have two viable proposals on the table. The question is, which team feels the pain? The one proposal is to update ACAPI and .NET. The other proposal is for Evernym's products to update. There's probably less external pain for Evernym's products, but we're so close to being interoperable. We really want it. It'll be quicker. It'll probably take us 3 weeks to get back onto the schedule for the various teams and get everything updated. So to me, it's more of a time.
So this is kind of funny. I got to call out that the government organization can move faster than the bureaucratic private sector. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I don't think it's a question of bureaucracy.
As a government, we're sensitive to being called, slow moving bureaucracy. So we like to take our chance while we can.
I have to say that the voters of British Columbia should be very proud of their government. I can agree with that. So, but yes, it is just a question of, team backlogs and things. So I can negotiate that, but it does slow down when we can have interoperability in the wild, which I'm really excited about. So I think that's the trade-off. And I know, Stephen, you're excited about interoperability in the wild too. So where do you want to... Do you want the pain on being able to work with the Evernym products that are so close, or do you want the pain on having to redeploy your instance?
Our instance, our many.
Your instances, I should say, plural.
Yes. How do we resolve?
Well, I'm just that's a question for you. Like, where do you want the pain? Because you've been the one pushing me for interoperability in the wild. Do you want that as soon as possible, or do you want to save yourself redeploying your instances?
I also want to. I have other goals too that Don't involve that. So that's not really the right question to ask me. Yeah.
So we can talk offline, but really, my thinking is, how do I? You're one of the stakeholders that we're trying to meet too. So
Thomas Loft. I mean, I think Thomas Loft is a big player in this, and needs to, you know, what kind of pain do you see you're going to go through in doing this?
So I'm trying to assess, actually, because we are maintaining two released mobile apps and one unreleased right now that will be affected.
Exactly.
In addition to our agency products and in addition to client or products that we have deployed in production. Change to be done on the Aries.net itself, it's probably going to be a couple of hours of my time, which is not huge, but then coordinating that downstream.
So maybe a third door. I keep looking for third doors here. What if the change that either side makes is to adjust the versioning of the protocol? That should be faster or easier or less complicated code. And then the second phase of that is to add support for the other protocol to the products. And that is less messy from a deployed perspective, probably. Maybe this is a false solution, but if we do that, then we can still accommodate both, and it might ease the deployment transition.
So the question then is, Sergey, can you change yours to 1.01 or whatever? And how much effort is that, Sergey and Richard?
Well, for our side, it's a gain. So it's not a problem of the code, it's a problem of deployment. In any case, right now we have two behaviors in the wild, which all points to 1.0. And from my point of view, any changes are pretty simple, either to just bump a version or to align a behavior to RFC. So no difference what changes to do in the code. In any case, we have to align a deployed version of the code base.
So I'm going to call this conversation. We're at the top of the hour. We'll have to continue this on chat. I do feel like we better understand the relative friction. I need to go back to the teams that are impacted and see how likely it is that we can push the change. Sometimes these things are hard and sometimes these things are easy. I just don't know yet. I need to go talk to those teams for Evernote side. So let's coordinate on the chat channel. Philip, I apologize. We did not get to the Aries KMS design. We'll do that in a future call. I think we'll know more in a month anyway.
Too, so.
Sorry, what?
I'll be on the afternoon call as well, so it's not an issue.
Excellent. And use cases over HTTP over DIGCOM can either be on the afternoon call or in a future call. At any rate, I'll get this recording posted. Thank you, everybody, for attending, for the lively conversation. I think it was productive and educational. And I hope everybody enjoys a quiet season at the end of the year. And it comes back next week, next year, excited to make progress on the project.
Thanks, all.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, thank everybody. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Right.